اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم واللاتی یاتین الفاحشة من نسائکم فاستشہدوا علیہن اربعۃ منکم فان شہدوا فامسکوہن فی البیوت حتی یتوفاہن الموت ویجعل اللہ لہن سبیلا صدق اللہ العظیم. Now before we start with the second issue, let me say something more about this law of inheritance. As many of you must be recalling, the first directive that came regarding this inheritance was the ayah in the 22nd section of Suratul Baqarah. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. That was the first instruction. That if a person is dying and he is leaving some property behind him, he must make a will, a bequest. And that will should be in favor of the parents and relatives. It should not happen that all the property is possessed by one son or the only sons, nothing to daughters, nothing to the parents. They are left without anything. But still the portions were not fixed. And at that time, this wasiya, this making a will, was farz, imperative. Kutiba alaykum. It has been written upon you that you must make a bequest, you must make a will before dying, that whatever I am leaving behind, well, such and such portion should be given to my father, such and such portion should be given to my mother, and to such and such persons. That was a must for every dying Muslim. But now when this law of inheritance was revealed in this Surah An-Nisa, that ayah stands abrogated. Now making a will is not essential, not imperative. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has himself fixed the portions that the parents will be getting, that the sons will be getting, that the daughters will be getting, that the wife will be getting, or the husband will be getting out of the property of the deceased wife. So actually now there can be no wasiyah lil waris. But this is the relationship between Sunnah and Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam restricted this right of wasiyah to 1/3 of the total property. Number one, it is not farz now. If somebody dies without making any will, it's okay. No harm to him. He has not acted against the advice of the Sharia. But if he wants to make a will in favor of some friend, in favor of some institution, some center, some good work of charity is going on, and he wants that some part of his property should be given to that institution, then he can make a will, a bequest, only up till the 1/3 of the total value of whatever he is leaving behind. And number two, he cannot make any bequest in favor of those whose portions have been fixed by this law of inheritance. These two things you must keep in mind. Now the second issue which is being dealt here in this Surah An-Nisa is that of sex discipline. Sex anarchy and sex discipline. These two things are very different and opposite to each other. There was a sex anarchy in the Arabian society before the advent of Islam. And very gradually, Quran, and for that matter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they disciplined that society. Neither Quran says that sex is evil. No, it's not evil, it's natural. It's a natural urge. So actually, it must be placed within limits, must be controlled. There should be no anarchy. It must be disciplined. So now these issues will be discussed one by one. وَاللَّاتِي يَاتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ. As for those of your women who commit some adultery, of your women, Muslim women, فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. So you call 4 witnesses over her, but those witnesses should be minkum, Muslims, not non-Muslims. Now you keep in mind that the society up till that time at Medina was a mixed society. Muslims were there. Even the pagan Arabs were there, out of the tribes of Aus and Khazraj, who had not accepted Islam up till now. Then the third element was the Jews. 3 very strong tribes of the Jews were present in Medina. So it was a mixed society. And actually what we call a state, the state had not been established up till now. The authority was distributed. The whole jurisdiction was not there for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why this ayah. Now supposing a Muslim woman has committed adultery and she has committed this sin with some non-Muslim. And that non-Muslim, that Jew, for example, is not within the jurisdiction of the Muslim courts or the Muslim system order. What to do? So this ayah is pertaining to that case. وَاللَّاتِ يَاتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ. As for your women, if someone among them commits that sin, فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. So you call four witnesses, those witnesses from the Muslims. فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا, if they testify that yes, we saw this woman committing this sin, فَأَمْسَكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ. Now you restrain them, confine them to their homes. They will not be allowed to go out of the homes. Restricted, confinement. As if now their homes will be like jails for them. They will be imprisoned in their homes. Hatta yatawaffahunnal maut. Till that time, death takes them away. It's a lifelong imprisonment. Till death. أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Or till such time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens another way for them. That way was when the last, you know, injunction came about this adultery. What's the punishment? That is in Surah An-Nur. That was the sabil that Allah opened. But till the revelation of those ayat of Surah An-Nur, this was the order and this had to be abided by. وَاللَّاتِ يَاتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا وَاللَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ. And as for those two who have committed this sin, adultery, and fornication, and both of them are from you, both are Muslims, legal Muslims, then what to do? Now both are in the jurisdiction of the Muslim society. Both belong to the same society. What is the commandment? فَعَزُوهُمَا. Punish them both. Now what type of punishment is to be given is not described here. Any type of ta'zir, any type of punishment. You can strike them, you can confine them somewhere. That can't be decided now because now the final judgment, final injunctions have been revealed in Surah An-Nur. But till that time, this was the injunction that had to be kept. وَالَّذَانِ يَاتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ فَازُوهُمَا فَإِنْ تَابَا وَأَصْلَحَا فَأَعْرِزُوا عَنْهُمَا. But if they repent and they mend their ways, they promise, make solemn pledge, never to commit it again, let them go their way. فَأَعْرِزُوا عَنْهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Because verily Allah Ta'ala is very much acceptor of tawbah and He is very much merciful. Now because this subject of tawbah will come now many a times, so let me explain here what is tawbah. Taba yatubu tawban means in Arabic to return, to come back. Taba yatubu tawban. And very close is the word aba yaubu auban. Aba yaubu auban, taba yatubu tawban, they are very close in meaning. That is why there is a masnoon prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he went out for some journey and when he came to his home, what was the prayer? Aibuna taibuna li rabbina hamiduna. We are coming back, not only to our home, but also turning to our Allah. And we are praising our Lord who kept us safe during this journey. And He allowed us to return to our homes and families safe and sound. Aibuna, taibuna, lirabbina, hamiduna. What is tawbah? To return. Now what does it mean? The relationship between Allah and His abd, His servant, His bondman is that they are face to face. Allah is pleased with him. He is pleased with Allah. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Allah. Allah is their wali and they are the wali of Allah. Allahu waliyu allazeena amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-noor. Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Now this is the relationship. Now if this person, this bondsman, this servant of Allah, this Muslim, this mu'min, he has committed some sin, it is as if he has turned his face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the result? Allah also turns his face from him. Now he is returning towards Allah. He is making repentance. He is making tawbah. So he is making tawbah. And then the result is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turns his face again towards him with mercy and compassion. So this is a bilateral phenomenon. Allah is tawwab and man is tawwab. Tawwaboon. People who do tawbah. Whenever they have committed something wrong, immediately they turn to Allah, they repent, ask for his forgiveness, and it is tawbah. And Allah also returns to him with his mercy, his forgiveness, his compassion. So both sides, tawbah. So you must be keeping all these facts about tawbah in view when this word comes, and there is going to be discussed, a very fundamental rule about this tawbah is going to be discussed in this section, inshallah. Now those ayat have come. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. This acceptance of tawbah is due on Allah. Just imagine, what is Allah saying? It is due on me. I have to accept the repentance of my bondsman, my abd, my servant. But in what case? إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. For those who commit something wrong, commit something evil, but only out of ignorance. Ignorance, or there is some overflooding of emotions. There are emotions. Somebody is overpowered by his emotions and he has committed something. But emotions, they are very temporary. They come and go. So immediately he repents. When the flood has gone, now he recalls, what have I done? He comes to his senses. I have done a mistake. I have committed a sin. Just if somebody is riding a cycle on a rainy day, the road is slippery, and he slips. But no sooner than he slips, he just rises up immediately. He doesn't keep lying on the road. Absolutely. Immediately he stands up. In the same way, if there is some sin committed out of ignorance or out of an outburst of emotion, but then he turns quickly to repentance. Quickly. He doesn't delay it. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. For these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turns his face. He returns to them with mercy, with forgiveness, with compassion. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever knowing, ever wise. Now note here, when this word taba comes as a verb, for the man, for the bondsman, for the servant, it will be followed by ila, taba ila, tubu ila Allahi. You turn and return to Allah. And when this comes as a verb for Allah, it will be followed by ala. Yatubu Allahu alayhim. Ila. Ala. He is higher up. We are lower down. We are returning to him. He is also returning to us, but from a higher position. So for that ala, ulaika yatubu Allahu alayhim. Wa kana Allahu aliman hakima. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And this repentance, it is not for those. The repentance of those will not be acceptable to Allah. Who go on committing sins and disobeying Allah, حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ, till that time that death comes and stands before him. Now he is seeing the death, eye to eye with death. Then he says, قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. And he says, now I repent, I make repentance. I ask the forgiveness of Allah. No. The doors of tawbah from Allah's side are closed. وَالَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارِ. In the same way, this was the tawbah of the Muslims. He is a legal Muslim, but he is committing sins. He is contravening the laws of Sharia, transgressing the limits of the Sharia, and he is doing it. Till such time that death comes. And then he says, I make tawbah, I repent. No, this repentance is not acceptable to Allah. And in the same way, this repentance is not for the kuffar. وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارِ. Whosoever dies as a disbeliever, there is no question of any tawbah for him. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. For such persons, we have prepared a punishment, a chastisement, which is very painful. Alim. Alam naak, we use in Urdu. Alam naak. So alam is pain. Alima, painful punishment. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yahillu lakum tarisu nisaa karha. O who believe, it is not permissible for you that you take women as inheritance forcibly. Now this was a very bad custom in the among the Arabs. Because some person might have 10 wives, maybe that he has son only from one or two, all the rest are issueless. Now this son, after the death of the father, he will inherit these wives of father. They are not mothers for him. The mother is only out of whose womb he was born. She is only the mother, not all the other wives. So they are also like property. And they inherited them. And they had all control. Just as the owner of a property has a control over it, he can do anything with it. So they used to do anything with them. Control them. They were the inheritors of their stepmothers. And also they used to marry them. Although they were the mothers. They were married to their fathers. But this was the custom in Arabs. Although they disliked it. But it was there. In the following ayah you will find this also. Now this is being reformed here. Don't do this. This is wrong. Women are not like property. Not like camels or goats or sheep to be inherited. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yahillu lakum an tarisu an-nisaa karha. وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ. And second mischief which was being done to the women was, one has married a wife and he has given her a big sum, lot of gold as a dowry, as a bridal money. Now after some time, he is somehow or the other, he is putting her in difficulty so that she wants a divorce. And then he would say, now return to me the wealth that I gave to you. Then I will let you go. Otherwise you will have to remain here and you will have to have all the persecution that I give to you. So that is the second thing that is being corrected here. وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ. And don't put constraints upon them so as to take from them some part of that which you gave them at the time of the marriage. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيَّنَةٍ. Now this punishment can be given only in case if they have committed adultery. If they have committed such a big crime, then they deserve punishment. Not in any other case. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And live with them in an honorable way. In a gentle way, honorable way, live with them. Muashara, aashiruhunna, this is muasharat. But this muashara should be in a very gentle way, honorable way. They are also human beings. Don't treat them as captives. Don't treat them as cattle. They are also human beings. Aashiruhunna bil maruf, wa in karehtumuhunna. If you dislike them, maybe somebody had some fancy for some woman and he married her, but later on he developed some dislike for her. وَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you somehow dislike them, but you must think that maybe that you might be disliking something and Allah might have put much good in it for you. So keep it. And don't, you know, decide all the matters for your own self. So even if some aspect of that woman is not liked by you, try to look into her personality, another aspect, her character, her knowledge, her gentle behavior, that might make her lovable for you. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِبْدَالَ ذَوْجٍ مَكَانَ ذَوْجٍ. And now, if this relationship is strained, and one wants to change, to divorce one wife and have another wife in marriage. إِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِبْدَالَ ذَوْجٍ مَكَانَ ذَوْجٍ. If you have decided you want to change one wife for another one. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. And you have given to the former wife, to the first wife, heaps of gold. قِنْطَارًا. Even heaps of gold you have given them. لَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Now you cannot take it back from them. You cannot take anything from them. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا. Do you want to take it back slandering them. Vaisma mobina, and it's a manifest sin. It's a very clear sin. Now, if you are divorcing her, whatever you gave her, it is her property. Let her take it away with her. Don't take anything back. This ayah was quoted by an old lady in the time of the caliphate of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. During the caliphate of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, it became customary with the Muslims to have big sums of dowry. Alf dinar. Well, I give. Okay, in dowry. So the caliph, the pious caliph, Hazrat Umar, thought it is wrong. It must be controlled. So he put a ceiling. He issued an ordinance that now there will be no mehr more than this ceiling, this limit. Now a lady, an old lady, he stopped him on his way and said to him, "O Umar, how can you put a limit on our right? This is the right of women. We can demand whatever dowry we want. And this is the right granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah has not put any limit to that dowry, who are you to put a limit?" And she quoted this ayah. Ataytum ihdahunna qintara. When Quran says, if even you have given one of them heaps of gold, you can't take it back from them. So there is no limit to the sum of dowry. And you can't fix a limit or a ceiling to it. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, today a woman has taught Umar the deen of Allah. And he took back his command or his ordinance. Ordinance abrogated. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ? And how can you take that dowry back from your wife? وَقَدْ أَفْزَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. While you have been very close to each other, while you have been going into her, you had that relationship of husband and wife. قَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And they had taken from you the solemn pledge and solemn covenant. This nikah is a very sacred covenant. It's a very sacred agreement. So after nikah, and at the time of nikah, you have given her that much amount, that much property in dowry as a bridal money. In the Western society, because in Christianity there can be no divorce. Once married, married forever. The Catholics up till date, they don't allow any divorce. They only allow you can live separately. You can't divorce. And even if you are living separately, you can't marry anybody else, neither the man nor the woman. The Protestants now are allowing divorce. But only if you can prove, if one of the spouses can prove, you know, that the other spouse has committed adultery. For that now, the cases and the fabrications and all those things, the cases fought on the basis of this. And even then, they don't also allow no marriage. King Edward VIII, he had to abdicate the throne because he married a widow American woman. The Church of England didn't allow him. No. She was divorced or she was a widow. How can you marry her? You can't marry a widow. And the same case happened with Margaret, the princess. She was not allowed to marry Townsend, Captain Townsend. Same case is happening now between Lady Diana and the Charles, yes. How? If he gives the divorce, then he will have to abdicate the throne. The throne will go to the son now, not to him. So these are the rules in Christianity, because there is no divorce, no concept of divorce in Christianity. But in Islam, there is divorce. Maybe that both cannot reconcile. Maybe their likes and dislikes are very much different, opposite to each other. They can't live together in harmony, with love and affection. So it's better to separate. And he can marry also, and she can marry also after the iddah, after that time, at that period has finished. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْزَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. This nikah, I was saying, is mithaq-e-ghaliz. It's very solid covenant. وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ And don't marry those women who were married to your fathers. They used to marry the stepmothers. They thought, my mother is only the woman out of whose womb I have been born. This was the wife of my father, but she is not a mother to me. Islam has raised the status of women. Every woman married to your father is your mother. You can't marry her. وَلَا تَنْكِهُ مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ Except what has already passed. You have to condone whatever has been committed, mistakes before these commandments were revealed. So those mistakes have to be condoned. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ What has happened, happened. Forget about it. But now abide by the rules. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا It was very indecent and very hateful. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا And a very evil way to marry the wives, the widows of the deceased father. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ Now a very big law of Islam. Whom you cannot marry. The women whom you can never marry. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ Forbidden to you in marriage are, number one, أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ Your mothers, mothers, grandmothers, paternal grandmothers, maternal grandmothers, وَبَنَاتُكُمْ And your daughters, daughters of your daughters, daughters of your sons, down. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ And your sisters, وَأَمَّاتُكُمْ And your paternal aunts, وَخَالَاتُكُمْ And your maternal aunts, وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ And the daughters of your brothers, وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ And the daughters of your sisters, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ اللَّاتِ أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ And those of your mothers who have suckled you, mothers by suckling, who have suckled you, and they have also become mothers to you, وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ In the same way, the daughters of the suckling mothers, they are also haram. أَخَوَاتُكُمْ Your sisters, now they have become your sisters. Because you also, you had the milk of the same woman, which the daughter of that woman has taken. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ And also, the mothers of your wives. وَرَبَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي هُدُورِكُمْ And your foster sisters and your stepdaughters, who are under your wardship and guardianship. From مِن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ Mean your wives, in whom you have gone. You have married a woman. She was married to another person before, who was deceased, who died, or who divorced her. And she had a daughter from the former husband. Now when you have married this woman, that daughter has come also. Now you are the guardian. You are the stepfather of that daughter. You can't marry her also. But if you have not had the sexual intercourse with this woman, And you have divorced it, but divorced again, without having a sexual intercourse, then you can marry the daughter of such a woman, such a wife, with whom you didn't have any sexual intercourse. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ If you have not gone into them, if you have not had the sexual intercourse with them, فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ So it is not forbidden for you to marry the daughters of such women. وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمْ And also forbidden are for you, The wives of your sons, but sons those, الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ Who are from your own loins, not the so-called sons, the adopted sons. There's no question of any adopted son in Islam, nothing of the sort. The sons are only from your own loins, who are from your own progeny. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيَيْنِ And it is also illegal for you to have two sisters at once, at one time in your marriage. You can't marry the sister of your wife. You can't join them together at one time. And here also please note that the Prophet ﷺ has added to this list. You can't have two sisters in marriage at one time. You can't have one woman and the paternal aunt or the maternal aunt of that woman at one time as wives. Quran says only sisters, but the Prophet added, The wife and the paternal aunt. They can't be added together in one marriage. One woman and the maternal aunt, they can't be taken together by one person in marriage. Illa ma qad salaf. Except what has already passed, what has been done in the past, well, that is to be condoned. Inna Allaha kana ghafura rahima. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. Wal muhsanatu minan nisa. And also those women who are married to other people, muhsanat. Now please understand this word, hisn. Hisn means afford. Hisn. Muhsan is one who is fortified, protected within the walls of a fort. Muhsan. Muhsana is a woman who is in the protection of a husband already, who is in the fort. That marriage, bond of marriage is like a fort for her. And that is a protection for her. The husband is to protect her chastity. So that is the muhsanat. So women who are already married to other people, who are in the fort of nikah already, they are also haram for you. You can't marry them. So that is another thing added to that list. Illa ma malakat aymanukum. But there is an exception to this. If a non-Muslim woman, she came to you as a captive, as a slave girl, although she has a husband back home, but now her status has changed. She is a captive. She is a slave girl. Now you can marry her. So this is an exception. Although she is married, but the husband is back home. He is not here. And she has been captured in war, in battle by the Muslims. So already, even if she has been married to some person, she can be taken in marriage by a Muslim. Kitabullahi alaykum. This is the ordinance of Allah upon you. These relations, these don'ts. Don't marry this, don't marry this, don't marry this. These are muharramat abadiyya. You can never marry your own daughter. You can never marry your own sister. You can never marry your own mother. You can never marry the daughters of your brothers or sisters, and so on and so on. وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. And the rest of all women, they are permissible for you. They are allowed for you. They are halal for you. That you take them into marriage, and تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ, through your wealth. Pay them the dowry, the mahar. مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِرِينَ. But the intention should be to bring her into the fort of nikah. Muhsineen, ghaira musafirheen. It should be in wedlock and not in license or fornication. Not only you to satisfy your sexual urge, no. This is going to be a sacred relationship, a lifelong relationship of a husband and a wife. That is the way that you can have a woman in marriage. Not a timely pleasure, just a sensual gratification at a time. That is not permissible, that is haram, that is fornication. وَسَنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِعِينَ فَمَسْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَعَتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا. Now if when you have benefited from them, you have taken the sexual pleasure from them, you must pay them their mahar, their dowry, you must pay them. وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا تَرَاضَيْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. But if after fixing the amount of the dowry, if by mutual agreement you decide something else, maybe you say, I will give more. Maybe she says, well, I can accept less. I leave some part of it for you. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So there is no blame on you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, all-wise. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمَوْسَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. As for those of you who don't have the capacity, cannot afford to marry free believing women, free woman, believing woman, mu'minat, muhsanat. If you can't marry them, because you have to pay the dowry, you are poor, you don't have anything. You might have seen in Saudi Arabia people, they ask for charity, because I have to pay the dowry. I want to get married, I don't have the money with me, so please help me, so that I can have that amount with which I can go and marry. So that is also something for which people are begging in that country. So one lam yastati minkum tawlan, Whosoever amongst you can't afford, doesn't have the money, so that he can marry a yankihil muhsanatil mu'minat, free believing women, فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. So as a concession, you are allowed to marry the slave girls. مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. But only the slaving girls who have become mu'mins, who have accepted and embraced Islam. If a slave girl comes to you as a captive, she remains a mushrik or kafir, you can't marry her. Marriage will not be able, but you will not be permissible, but you can have relationship with her as a captive, but it will not be a marriage. She will not get the status of a wife. The status of a wife will be attainable only by a Muslim woman. Although she was a captive, she came as a slave girl, but she has embraced Islam. She is still a captive girl, but you can marry her. Wallahu a'lamu bi'imanikum. Allah knows very well about your iman, whether you have iman or not, whether she has iman or not. So what is to be decided is on the basis of Islam, not iman. Whether she is a Muslim or not, whether you are a Muslim or not. All the legal matters are based on Islam, not on iman. Because iman is something hidden in your heart. Wallahu a'lamu bi'imanikum. Only Allah knows about iman, whether you have iman or not, whether I have iman or not. But I am a Muslim, you accept me as a Muslim, you are a Muslim, I accept you as a Muslim. Ba'dukum min ba'd, you are from each other. After all, even if she is a slave girl, she is a human being. She is from the progeny of Adam and Eve. Ba'dukum min ba'd. So this is only a level in this society for arrangement. But all human beings are equal. Ba'dukum min ba'd. فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْلِ أَهْدِهِنَّ. So you can marry them, the slave girls, but with the permission of their masters. Maybe the slave girl belongs to me, and some Muslim, poor Muslim, he asked the permission from me, can I marry your slave girl? And if I allow, then she will become the wife of that person, and now I will not have the right to have any sexual relationship with that slave girl. That is stopped now here, because I permitted him to marry her. بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. To them also you give their mahr. بِالْمَعْرُوف, in a proper way. بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مُحْسَنَاتٍ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحَاتٍ. You take these slave girls also to have the in the fort of nikah, not only to have the sexual pleasure. وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَان. And also not to have any hidden relationship, any hidden friendship. فَإِذَا أُحْسِنَّ. Now, if they come in nikah of a Muslim, of a mu'min, although they are slave girls, now they are the wives. فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. Now, if they commit something in these, some adultery, the punishment given to them will be half of the punishment for the free believing women. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَةَ مِنْكُمْ. And this is the concession which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for those of you who fear that they may fall into some sin. If somebody is without marriage, maybe he can go astray. So he wants to marry, anyhow. But he doesn't afford. He can't afford to marry a free believing woman. So it's a concession that they can marry the slave girls, provided number one, they are Muslims. Number two, it is done with the permission of the masters. Now if they are your wives, you have to pay them the dowry. And now if they commit any adultery or something of that type, then the punishment which is to be given to them will be half of the punishment of those who are regular and who are free, mu'min wives. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And if you can have patience, if you can go without marriage, without marrying a slave girl, because you can't accept that level of morality from her. The level of morality of free women belonging to respectable families is something else. And the level of morality that you can expect from these slave girls who have been having the sexual relationship with their masters, the level cannot be the same. So try not to marry the slave girls. But if you think that you can fall into some sin, bigger sin, you may go towards adultery or fornication, then it is better. This is a concession from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least you marry a slave girl. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. And if you can have patience, if you can hold yourself, then it is better for you. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. Now these two ayat are very important. All these injunctions, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Maybe if man feels, well, it's very burdensome. So many commandments, so many restrictions, so many limitations. Why shouldn't there be free sex or group sex? There should be everything. You know, if a man is thirsty, he can take water from anywhere. If you feel a sexual urge, why all these restrictions? These are philosophies of the day. People argue that way. There are arguments in favor of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yuridullahu liyubayyana lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to make everything clear to you. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ. And He wants to lead you to the path and to the ways of those sunan al-lazina min qablikum, who were before you. مِنَ السِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. People on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His favors and His mercy. Allah wants you to take to their path, to follow them. This ayah will come inshallah in this very surah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants to turn to you in compassion, in mercy, in love. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah is all knowing, all wise. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Again, Allah intends to return to you with His mercy, with His favors, with His grace, with His glory. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهْوَاتِ. And as for those who are following their passions, their animal instincts, their lusts and desires, their id and libido. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهْوَاتِ. They want, they intend that you should أَنْتَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. You should deviate from the right path. A very great deviation. People want to take you astray. People want to lead you to wrong paths. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to keep to the right path. To follow the path of those الَّذِينَ أَنَامَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. On whom Allah bestowed glory and favors. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. And in the last, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make things, to lighten your burdens, make things easier for you. Don't think this sharia to be a burden. This is not a burden. This is to make life easier for you, more comfortable for you, with more peace of mind, with more contentment. All these things which are the most valuable things for this life on earth also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow these things upon you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And Allah very well knows that man has been created a weakling. There are weaknesses in his personalities. He has passions. He has emotions. He has desires. He has lusts. He has the id or libido haunting him. So all these things are there. He has created you. He knows the weak points in you. And He wants to fortify those weak points so that you are not led astray. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.